I need y'all to pray for my cousin, mine and DC's cousin. Last week he got stuck. He got stung by a bee on his forehead. I took him to the ER. His face was swollen and bruised. He almost died. Thank God I was close enough by him to hit that bee with that shovel. Okay. All right. And also, Wyatt, you want to announce it? So that was it, the church maintenance. Well, that's good. My cousin can't. He's too busy. His head's too swollen. Now, get your Bible out. Psalm 46. Want everybody to stand. Psalm 46. I've been working on this message all week long, and this morning the Lord gave me some more. So this was a one-parter, now it's a two-parter, because he just wouldn't quit pouring. And I love it when he won't quit pouring. Amen. I want everybody to close your eyes for a minute. Everybody stand up, then everybody close your eyes. All right, ready? Before we sing another note, before we lift another hand, before we speak another word, let's take a breath. Come on, through your nose. Good old deep breath. And I want you to remember who's in this room with us. Amen. This is holy ground. This is a safe place. This is a still place. God is here. He's not far. He's not distant. He's not delayed. So when we enter into worship today, we're not going to rush. In the Word, we're not going to rush. We're not going to strive. We're not going to perform for God. We're simply going to be still and follow this psalm. Let's read this psalm. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There's a river, the streams wherein shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is with her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease until the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth sunder the spear. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be in your house, to worship you in spirit, to worship you in truth. I ask you right now to let us know that you're here. In a very powerful way, help us not get in a hurry. Help us hear your word, not only hear it, but help us to absorb it in our spirit. There's a lot of people in here that have some things shaking in them, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you're going to bring a foundation today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. I look at somebody and tell them, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord a hand clap. of praise. Now, we're getting ready to get, y'all can sit down. We're getting ready to get TVs put in here. Maybe by next week there's going to be, this screen's going to be gone. There's going to be two 85-inch TVs, one over here. The next week or the week, whenever, it's going to be, yeah, right. There's one over here, 2 weeks, all right. There's one over here and one over here and one in the back. And it's going to, and before we get through, you're not going to recognize this place, but God is doing something special, and we're going to let him. Amen? Y'all say we're going to let him. So while we're doing all that, I thought, now that we don't have the screen, that we have a TV, I'm trying a new format. So not while we're doing it, but after service. Let me know what you think about the new format. And this isn't it. This is just my first shot at it. Okay? But then we're going to talk, be still and know that I am God. And before this morning, that was the whole sermon. But since I got up this morning, now this is part one. So let me talk about this psalm a little bit. This psalm is for a shaking world. If we look around us right now, we got a shaking world. You know, there was shots fired last night at the correspondence, supper in that hotel. We see all the stuff going on, and still stuff going on overseas and in Iraq and Iran and Russia and China, all these places. We live in a shaking world. So this psalm was written for the time that we live in. We think, well, it was written way on back thousands of years ago. Yes, it was written thousands of years ago, but if I could cap it and put it in a place where it really, if I was making a card catalog, I would put Psalm 46 right now in the time that we live. We see Psalm 46 is not a quiet psalm. It's not a peaceful psalm. It is a psalm not written from a hammock with sweet tea in somebody's hand. It is a psalm written in the middle of chaos. The psalm was written in a very shaky, uncertain season. How many here has had some shaky, uncertain seasons lately? You even wonder sometimes if it's even worth the fight. It's a season of intense trials. And so many times we are tempted, didn't say you were going to do it, but we are tempted to throw the towel in. Amen? This is a psalm when the ground underneath you gives away, when the mountains fall, when the waters roar, when nations rage. We're seeing all this happen around us. When your heart is totally overwhelmed, when your mind is racing, when your life feels unstable. How many lately have been thinking about things going on in this world and missed what was happening right in front of you? Come on. You're thinking about it, you're seeing it, what's going on around you, and you've missed what's happening right in front of us because we're so busy seeing all this chaos that's happening around us. So Psalm 46 is God's word for the moments when everything around you is loud. You see, God's calling you to stop, to be still. Stop. Relax the hold, the grip that you've got on your situation. Take it out of your hands and place it in God's. It's amazing what'll happen when you can let go and you can give it to God and you can rest in his power and in his authority. Let's look at Psalm 46 a little bit deeper. He says he's our refuge, all right? Refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. Refuge is a place where you can run to when danger comes. It's not a theory, it's a shelter. What I'm telling you today is not something that sounds good in church, but what about me? What about the things I'm going through? Where is that refuge when I need it? It's here. And it's powerful. He's our strength, not your strength. It's not borrowed strength. It's not even temporary strength. It's God's strength. And when it's God's strength, it's amazing what you can do. Amen? He said he's very present. What does very present mean? It means Hebrew. It means abundantly available, always findable. Did you know that God is never hard to reach? Oh, we think he is. He's not. You may not think he's hearing you. He is. But remember, there is his known presence and there's his own unknown presence. And so although we might not have a known presence, we've always got the unknown presence of God around us. Amen. You see, God is not far away. God's not waiting for you to get it together. Well, I'll go to God when I get it together. I promise you, if you wait till you get it together to go to God, you're going to be waiting for a long, 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 long time. I've been serving God for 50 years. You know what? I still ain't got it together. Oops. Some of y'all didn't know that. I'm so sorry. Listen. Now, you ain't got to wait till you get it together. He's right here, right now, and he's in the middle of your trouble. You see, God's not far. He's easy to reach. He's right here, right now. He's waiting for you to reach up because he's in, y'all say this, look at somebody and tell him, he's in the middle of your mess. Tell somebody, he's in the middle of your mess. Tell somebody else. Somebody needs to hear this today. God is in the middle of your mess. You know, I remember the Wizard of Oz. Y'all remember that? Yeah. And the storm shelter, and everybody tried to run to get to the storm shelter. And, of course, Dorothy couldn't. That's why she got the bump on the head and wound up in Oz. All right. When tornadoes hit in the Midwest, people said, we don't have the stuff they have in the Midwest. The Midwest don't have the stuff we have here. Amen? But these places over in the Midwest have storm shelters. So people don't run around outside trying to hold their houses together. Can you imagine that? I remember when the hurricane came, and we were pastoring in Benson. I'm trying to remember the name of that hurricane, but it killed some people, killed a man in our church and killed some people, tore the place all to pieces in Benson. I mean, it looked like a battlefield for miles. It was just amazing what the place looked like. And I remember we had that storm glass window door, and so I just put a sheet of plywood up and propped it up. I said, it's just going to, I was thinking about the hurricanes in North Carolina. I said, it can't be that hard in Benson. We up by Raleigh. It was. And the wild thing was me and DC, I was holding it. And I said, what is going on here? And that piece of plywood, I was stupid. That piece of plywood started going boom, 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 boom. As I was holding it, I said, what is going on? And DC, I said, DC, come here. And we held that thing, and it was doing like this. I said, what is going on? And then it stopped, but I heard all kinds of noises. A tornado sat down behind the parsonage, tore up the basketball goal, messed up the pump house, ran across by the church, picked up a cedar tree, threw it on top of the fellowship hall, and went across the street and tore up the place. Wow. I was not expecting that in Benson. And when I walked out in the middle of the night to try to see what was going on, I was walking out in water up to my knees. Wow. And I walked into the church, and I saw the walls doing like this in the church and the water coming down the sides. The tornado hit the church and almost knocked the second story off of the church. Wow. And here I was. Somebody go, duh. Do it better than that, duh. I'm holding that piece of plywood thinking it's just a little bitty storm. Yeah, me and DC holding that thing. Woo! You see, they run into the storm shelter, which is underground. See, the storm doesn't stop, but they're safe inside something stronger than the storm. The storm can't get to it because it's underground. See, God is your shelter, your storm shelter. And some of you right now are fighting the winds and fighting the rain and fighting the hurt and fighting the pain and doesn't even realize that you can run into this shelter. And all the skeeps are going to keep on coming. The hits are going to keep on coming. But it will not affect you the same way. Why? Because you're safe inside. God is your storm shelter. You don't have to hold your life together. Look at somebody and say, you ain't got to hold your life together. Tell somebody. Tell them twice. You just have to get inside of God. Amen? Let me ask you a question. I should have put it up as a challenge. Are you running into God, or are you running around trying to stop the storm? Wow. Y'all got awful quiet, so that must have been a good place to put a challenge. Speaking of challenge, here's one right now. Get ready. Challenge number one. Ready? Kind of bounces off what I just said. What storm are you trying to hold together with your own hands instead of running into God? This is your work, your marriage, your family, your kids. You think you know the right solution, and so you're trying to hold it all together. And God said, why don't you let go? Let go. Remember the guy walking on the mountain, fell off the side of the mountain, and he caught a branch on the way down of a root hanging out on the side of the mountain. He's holding it, and all of a sudden he hears this voice saying, let go, I got you. And he said, who's that? They said, he's hollering, is there anybody out there? Is there anybody out there? Is there anybody out there? And then his voice underneath says, I'm here. Let go. And he looked down below him and didn't see anything. God said, it is I, I'm below you. Just let go and fall into my arms. And the man hollered up, is there anybody else out there? You see, so many times we're so busy trying to hold it together that we're actually pushing God away. Wow. You see, when your world's falling apart, the Bible says, though the earth gives away, though the mountains fall, though the waters roar. You see, this is not a poetic exaggeration. This isn't the psalmist just up there trying to be cool with his poetry. He knew all about this. He's saying, even if the worst happens, God is still God. Even if everything around you falls around, God is still God. Y'all say that. God is still God. Say it again. God is still God. One more time. God is still God. Amen. When all has fallen around you, do you still trust Him? Wow. That's a big, big thought. And here's where this morning where the Lord started messing with me. So I haven't even got it all up here. So if you're taking notes, get ready to start writing. Because God started dealing, and I started working. Be still, and know that I'm God. Where? What does it mean, be still? I haven't even got to that part about be still yet. He said, be still. Now, get ready. Be still in your mind. Ready? Some of y'all going to get hit right in the gut right now. Stop rehearsing the worst case scenario. How many here just lately, things were going rough, and what you did was you said it's going to get rougher. Get ready. It's about to get rougher. I think it's going to happen. You see, listen to me carefully. Your mind will replay that threat on a loop if you let it. Replay it, replay it, replay it, replay it, replay it. And Satan's holding the fast forward button. God says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Isaiah 26:3. Stillness comes and begins when you stop letting your thoughts run the show. I got to say that again. Your stillness in God comes when you stop letting your thoughts run wild and run the show in your mind. Next time you get a wild thought, next time you get a bad thought, start directing that thought to the one who holds the outcome. Here, God, I got another one for you. God, did you hear that? I know you did. So here's the practical step for this. When you start rehearsing in your mind all the bad things that can happen, the worst case scenarios, here's what I want you to start doing. When the anxious thought comes, listen carefully, name that thought. Name it. Don't keep running from it. Name it. You got to name it so you can herd it, so you can get it out of the way, so you can herd it. Ready? When the anxious thought comes, name it, then release it into God's hands and replace it with the truth from the Word. Wow. I do it all the time. It's a powerful thing. It's an awesome, awesome tool. I had somebody one time even tell me, "You think that faith stuff really works?" I said, "It ain't let me down yet." I'm not talking about wishing, I wish for a brand new car and a 25-room house. I wish. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the thought comes, you're never going to make it. You're never going to make it. You're never going to mount anything. Blah, 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 blah. Negative, negative, negative. And it hits you hard. You see, let me ask you something. When stuff happens, what's your first thought? Negative or positive? I know folks, negative hits hard. You see, where does your thoughts need to be still? And what fear is louder than your faith? Stillness is not weakness. It's trust. Secondly, and I got three more. They're not up here. Be still in your emotions. There's a hard one. Let God settle the storm inside of you. Get ready. Here's another gut punch. You don't have to act on every feeling that you have. You don't. You don't have to be a slave to your feelings. Feelings are real, but they're not always reliable. The Bible says they're deceitful. So look, Psalm 42 and 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him." Stillness in your emotions mean, watch this, listen. Stillness in your emotions mean you feel the wave, but you don't let the wave drive the boat. We were in the ferry one night, driving the ferry from down there to Roar, and I had never been on it when there was a storm. And that night I was riding on the stormy water. I didn't realize how stormy it was. I'd have drove around. Some of y'all may have done this too. You might have been on it that night and I didn't see you. But white caps started coming up. I said, "Wow, I've never seen water splash up on it like this." And so me, I'm going to go stand on the side. And watch this crazy thing. And God looked down and said, "I better watch out for that crazy thing hanging onto the side of the boat." I was just amazed to see that great old big ferry shook. And you could feel it being shook by that storm. But you know what? I didn't look up there. I saw the ferry captain. He wasn't going, "Huh, huh, huh, huh." He was busy talking and carrying on and driving like nothing was wrong. Some of y'all need to be doing the same thing. Don't let your feelings drive your emotions. Amen? So here it is. Here's a practical step. I do this all the time, and I've trained inmates and law officers and all kinds of people to do this all the time. Before you react, what's the difference in react and act? Act, I've got a purpose. Act, I've decided to do something. React means I'm responding to my threat without even thinking. I'm just reacting. So, before you react, pause and breathe. Let's do this. Ready? Let's breathe in through our nose. Hold it for a few minutes, then blow it out through our mouth. Do not blow in other people's faces, please. Blow straight ahead. Ready? Ready? Watch. Try it. Breathe in. Big old, my wife calls it big old deep man breath. Just breathe in. Hold it for a minute. And then blow out. Get on. Make a sound. If you ain't feeling good, try it again. Because you know what will happen about the third time? Your pulse will come down. Your blood pressure will come down. And you won't strangle that person in front of you. Then ask after you've done that, why are you doing? Is this my emotion speaking, or is this God's spirit leading? Wow. That'll make you think, won't it? Is this my emotions trying to drive me, or is this God's spirit trying to lead me? There's a big difference in being driven and being led. Here comes three more. Get ready. It's not up there. So I'm going to put this down for a minute. Ready? Number three, be still in your decisions. Ruh-roh. Be still in your decisions. Don't move until God speaks. The pressure to do something is not the same as being led to do something. When I was a coach, especially a basketball coach, and I watched the other team pressuring us, I called a timeout, and I called the guys in and said, we're not going to live under this pressure. I remember the very first time I did that, I looked at everybody on the team because they weren't listening. I said, if I could, I'd bench every one of you, but I ain't got guys to bench every one of you. And DC said, even me, Daddy? Remember that, DC? And I said, especially you. You lead the team. I said, you go out there and don't be led by pressure. You go out there and play the plays that I've taught you and watch what will happen. They're in a 20-point deficit. They quit letting the pressure get to them and started bringing pressure on and playing the plays, and they won by 20 points and never lost another game the rest of the season. Because I told them, don't be led by pressure. You put the pressure on. Now, how many is being led by pressure? Don't raise your hand. You got a certain situation in your life, something going on in your marriage, something going on in your family, something going on in your job, something going on with your friends, and you're letting the pressure drive you, and I promise you, if the pressure's driving you, you're going to regret it later on. Let God lead you. Urgency is not always the voice of God. Sometimes it's the voice of fear. Wow. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct your paths. Stillness in our decisions means you'd rather wait on God's timing than rush into your own plan. See, I love it on the A-team when the colonel says, I love it when the plan comes together. Well, you know what? I can't always say that with my plans, but I can with God's plans. Amen? His time is impeccable. Here's the practical step. If you're not sure it's God, wait. Take your emotions out of it. Wait. If it's from God, the door will open. If it's not from God, Lord, let that door stay shut. Amen? Number four, I told you it's not up here. Number four, it's amazing what happens when God, I went to bed last night and said, I got it all ready. And God, this morning, I said, I'm so glad it's all ready. And God said, get your pencil out. I said, okay. Number four, be still in your identity. Stop letting fear define you. Let God define you. Fear will tell you that you're not good enough. Fear will tell you that you're too broken. Fear will tell you that you've gone too far. Fear will tell you that you never can measure up to what God wants you to be. But God says you're chosen, you're redeemed, you're called, you're loved. Wow. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. Stillness is your identity. Stillness in your identity means you stopped auditioning for approval. Have you auditioned for approval for God? Have you auditioned for approval with your friends? You stop auditioning for approval and you start resting in what God has already said about you. I am chosen, I am redeemed, I am called, I am loved. Y'all said it with me. I am chosen, I'm redeemed, I'm called, I'm loved. Amen. So here's the practice set, right? When this is going on, when your identity is being challenged by the things going on around you, write down three things God says about you in His Word. There don't have to be these three things or four things. You can find three more. Find three things that God says about you in His Word. Write them down and read them every morning before the world tells you something different. I remember one time another minister attacked me. I don't mean like a garden variety attack. I'm talking about deadly, 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 deadly attack. And I wasn't even the one that even hurt him. There was two overseers. One overseer was mad at the other overseer, and the other overseer was mad at the other, and they were at each other's throats, and I just happened to be the pawn in the middle. One of them attacked me when he should have been attacking each other. They should have been loving each other. But instead of attacking him, he attacked me to get back at him. And when he attacked me, I got so aggravated. And I almost wanted to leave the ministry because of it. And I remember the Lord said, you got to forgive him. And so I forgave him. And I walk up to him. And before I'd walk to him, he would turn his head the other way like he didn't see me. And this went on for 2 or 3 years. He turned his head like he didn't see me. But in my mind, before I saw him, all of a sudden, I see him and I want to give him a piece of my mind. But instead, I would say this in my mind, through God, I have forgiven him. And I'm going to rest in that forgiveness. And for 2 or 3 years, I'd see him 2 or 3 times a year at camp meeting, see him other times, and he'd see me and turn his head like I weren't there. And I'd want to jump on him. I said, nope, 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 nope. And it got easier and easier and easier. Because I'd say, nope, God, I have forgiven him. Help me walk in that forgiveness. And finally one night in camp meeting, a couple thousand people there in camp meeting, God worked it out. I didn't do it. God did. Had him sitting right in front of me. He hadn't said a word to me. He acted like I weren't even there. And the Spirit started moving. They were worshiping. And I reached my hand up. The Lord said, now. And I reached my hand up. And I put it on his shoulder. And I started praying for him. And he turned around with tears in his eyes. And he grabbed me. And he said, will you please forgive me? And we both started crying. And he said, you've always been like a son to me. You didn't deserve this. And I'm so, so sorry. Please forgive me. And I said, it's forgiven. I forgave you 3 years ago. I just had to work through. Yeah. So again. You got to speak it. You got to speak it before you hit it. Before you hit the beat, you got to speak it. Amen. And then finally, I'm almost ready to close. Almost ready. Stillness in your surrender. How many here are control addicts or control freaks? Don't raise your hand really high. Just do it. But The hardest in all of this is to be still, because it requires trust. I was in Rocky Mountain this weekend doing a wedding, and at the rehearsal, they just said, do it quick. Blah, 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 blah. Just do it quick. Don't even go through the whole thing. Just tell the dad and the mom were going to come together and give away the bride. And they said, just tell us when to give her to you. And so I said, who gives this woman to this to be married to this man? He said, her mother and I. And they gave to him, walked on, and said, now just close it. It's rehearsal. So we can learn how to walk back and forth. I said, okay, you can kiss your bride. Then the wedding took place. And I'm reading the stuff I'm supposed to read before they give the bride away. And they hadn't even heard all of it. So I'm doing all this stuff, and the bride's going, like she's trying to, you know, she's almost off sides. She's trying to get to the groom. And the daddy's going. And I said, I'm reading it. And I kept saying, wait, wait for it. Wait, wait. And they're still doing it. I said, trust me. And I kept reading. I feel like I'm talking to two different people. I'm talking to the audience. I'm talking to the bride and the groom at the same time. I'm talking to the bride. Stop! See, you need to rehearse some things. And finally I said, now, who gives this woman to be married to this man? They rushed me so bad that I forgot to have the ring ceremony. Never have I done that. I said, now you've given yourself to each other by solemn vows and by giving and receiving. I went, y'all haven't given your rings. So they gave their rings and we had the ceremony. So watch. You see, they wouldn't release what they couldn't control. I was driving the ship. They wouldn't let me. You see, surrender means stop white knuckling the steering wheel and let God drive. I remember a friend of mine told me one day he was in a snowstorm and ice was on the highway and he was trying to stop and he was getting ready to hit a car right in front of him. And he said, oh, God, help me. And he heard the Spirit. This is all happening real fast. The Spirit said, let go. So he let go, and he said his car swerved over and went into another lane that weren't so icy and let him stop. Somebody said, Jesus, take the wheel. All right. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares upon you. 1 Peter 5:7. Stillness and surrender doesn't mean you've stopped caring. It means you've stopped caring. Doesn't mean you stop caring, C-A-R-I-N-G. It means you stop caring, C-A-R-R-Y-N-G. This was never meant for you to carry anyway. Here's your practical steps. Learn to open your hands. How many has heard that group 38 special? Oh, now everybody's talking. All right. How many remember that song, Hold On Loosely? Yeah. All right. Open your hands physically and say out loud. Look, do it. Do it. Ready? Say this with me. Like I said, it would be up here, but we say this out loud. God, I release this to you. It's yours. I trust you. One more time. God, I release this to you. It's yours. I trust you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, one more thing, and then we're getting ready to close. It says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, I want you to know something. This is crazy. Because guess who doesn't have a river? Jerusalem. Got wells, and you got a river. It's got Jerusalem waterworks underneath the river. You see, this is so powerful because it doesn't have a river. God is saying, listen carefully, When your environment lacks resources, He'll be your supply. I love it. Let me talk about the river, and then we're gonna close up for today. The underground spring. Some cities are built on underground springs. You can't see the water. You can't see the water, but it's flowing beneath your feet. That's how God works. You may not see Him, but He's flowing under the surface of your life. He's working behind the scenes like you've never seen before. God flows where resources do not exist. Put your hands up again. I want you to say this out loud. Out loud. God flows where resources do not exist. Now, what dry place do you need God to fill? Everybody stand. We'll finish this up next week because it's way too long. Those five things right there took longer than I'd even expected. DC, come on up here. All heads bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. How many in here will be bold and be daring and say, no looking around, be bold and be daring and say, there's some things in my life that are totally out of my control, but I'm still doing everything I can to make it work. Nobody looking around, every eye closed. One more time, I want you to raise your hands this time. How many in here would say, there's some things in my life that are being shaken. There's some things in my life that are out of control. And I'm having a time right now because I'm trying to control the uncontrollable. Put that hand up. Is that you? My challenge to you today is to let go. To let go. To let God and watch what He'll do. I want you right now to put that hand, keep those hands up. Keep those hands up. How many in here would say, God, I need to learn how to let go and trust You? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch everybody here. Lord, there's some things that don't make sense. There's some things that hurt. There's some things that doesn't we can't understand. I ask You right now, Lord, to meet everybody here right where they're at in that unshakable hand of Yours. Touch, God, and I thank You for it right now. I want everybody to come up here if they will. Everybody will come to the altar. Come on up. What do you need to release today? What is it? Don't tell me right now. I want you to tell God. What is it you hold on so tight to that you can't sleep? You're holding on to it so tight that you can't even live the life that you want to live because you're so busy trying to fix what only God can fix. What is it you need to release today so that you can finally be still and know that He is God? We're getting ready to pray, and then we're going to spend time praying before God. You can look up here if you want to and see this prayer we're getting ready to pray. We'll all pray it at the same time. Ready? God, I release what I cannot control. You got to mean this now. Say it one more time. God, I release what I cannot control. I surrender what I cannot fix. I trust You with what I cannot carry. Be my refuge. Be my strength. Be my stillness. Now go ahead and start praying. Go ahead and start praying. Go ahead. Let go of it. Let go of it. Let go of it. He's a big God. He can handle it. Let go of it. He's a mighty big God. He can handle it. He can handle it. He can handle it. He can handle it. Trust Him. Trust Him. With anything you cannot reach right now, you cannot do, trust Him. And we thank You, God. We thank You, God. We thank You, God. We thank You, God. Minister, Lord, right now, God, whatever it is we're holding on so tight that we can't even survive in this moment. We don't even see what's going on around us because we're so busy trying to control what we cannot control. We're trying to do what we cannot do. We're being held by things we shouldn't be held by. God, what is it? What is it, God? Help us, God, to let go right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Touch us, God. Help us, Lord. 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 Help us, God. You're in control. Touch right now. In the name of Jesus. Touch right now. In the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, God, we give it to You. You can handle it. You can handle it a whole lot better than we can, God. What is it in your life that you're holding on so tight that God can't even work because you won't let Him? Right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. I give it to You, God. I give it to You. I can't take it anymore. I give it to You. I thank You, Lord. I give it to You. I give it to You. How you feeling? How you feeling? Okay. Everybody hold your hand this way. She's been fighting this kidney stone. We're asking God to roll away that stone right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Roll this stone away. We thank You for it right now. In the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory, 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 glory. God's got this. Somebody say God's got this. God's got this. God's got it. We thank You for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Praise God. Our sister's going to stay around her and make sure she's okay. While she just bask in the Lord. Let her bask in the Lord. That's okay. Put your hand over toward her right now. Lord, we thank You for healing her body. Whether it be through the doctor or be a miracle right now, we thank You, God, You're going to heal our sister. You're going to take the pain away. In the name of Jesus, we thank You for it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God is good. You are. Okay. Come on, deacons. Sorry there. Need to touch her body. She's in pain right now. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're more than enough. Touch my sister right now. The God of more than enough, reach down. Take this pain away. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Release it, sister. Release it. Release it. Release it. Thank you, God. 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 Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory, glory, glory. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're a powerful God. You're an omnipotent God. You got this. Touch my sister. In the name of Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. Ain't God good? All right. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. After we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask one of our new deacons, Brother Patrick, to dismiss us in prayer. Y'all ready to say the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our